Good morning, girls and boys. We're turning to a new text today. It's in Luke 23, and it's the final saying of the Lord Jesus on the cross. So if you turn to Luke chapter 23 and follow as I read verse 46, getting near the end of the chapter. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost, or he yielded his spirit. He died. As I say, this is the final saying of the Lord Jesus on the cross, and I'm going to call it the cry of commitment. He says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I yield up my spirit to thy care. The very first cry of the Lord Jesus on the cross is also found in this chapter. If you look back to verse 34, you will find the first cry. And you will notice that it was a cry directed to his father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And now here at the seventh cry, he again is directing his cry to the father. And there's something significant in that there has been a maintaining of the link between the Lord Jesus and his father during all that he had passed through. And I want us to consider this final cry in the light of the creation of the world. First of all, just a little thought to you. As you know, the world was created in 6 days. On the sixth day, God finished the work. On the sixth saying of the Lord Jesus, you have the words, it is finished. In the seventh day of creation, it says God rested. And here, in the seventh saying of the Lord Jesus on the cross, he's entering into rest. What he had come to achieve and accomplish on earth during his ministry, he had achieved. It was over, and now he was committing himself into his father's hands. The work was done, and he was now resting. I can only say to you, boys and girls, that throughout the scripture you find this harmony, this interlocking of the great truths of God. You will find from the very first chapter of the Bible this revealing of God's truth in various forms and leading on to a further revelation of that truth. And we see that development here from the day of creation to the final day of the redeeming work of Christ, and he's now entering into rest. Well, I want us to think this morning about some things that are on the very surface of the text. We'll be going further into what is recorded here for us in the studies that we will have tomorrow and next week. But let's look at just some things that lie on the surface, for there are important truths here. And we should, when we come to the Bible, stand back, as it were, and see what is there stated obviously. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that our souls are eternal. The Lord Jesus, when he yielded up his spirit and his body entered into death, he didn't cease to be. There are those in the world, an awful lot of them in the world, who would say that when we die, that's the end of it, we just cease to be. We're taken and we're buried, and that's the end of it, but it's not. The Lord Jesus says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. We are more than just this physical body, this earthly shell. There's more to us. And as I've often said to you, nature illustrates this for us time and time and time and time again. Time and time again. You never crack a nut, but you see that the nut doesn't just consist of a hard outer shell. Inside it, there's a sweet-tasting nut. A sweet-tasting nut. And man has two basic elements, physical and spiritual. And that's taught to us here, very simply. So on the very surface of this text, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Boys and girls, the gospel is all about where are our spirits going when death overtakes us. That's the big issue. There's a wee hymn that says, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And we must give thought to that. Now, I know where most people want to spend eternity. In heaven. The place that is considered to be a place of joy and peace and happiness by most people. It certainly is set out as such in the Bible. But not everybody will go there. And that's set out in the Bible. There are those who will find the door to heaven closed against them. They will find the Lord saying to them, depart from me. I never knew you. So heaven is a place only for those who know the Lord. Who know the Lord. And we need to bear that in mind. Then let me say something else. The soul has a separate existence to that of the body. The graveyards are filled with tombstones, marking the place where the bodies of those who have deceased lie. But where is their soul? Because while we know where the body is, the soul, which has a separate existence, where is it? Where is it? We know that every Christian who dies has gone to be with the Lord. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul the Apostle says there that those of us who are saved have an earthly tabernacle here in which we dwell. He's talking about the body, but then we also have a home in heaven, a building made by God, a house not made with hands, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that's where the soul goes of the Christian who died. So that at this moment, every Christian who has passed away is in the presence of God. As 2 Corinthians 5 also says, absent from the body, yes, present with the Lord. Boys and girls, never, never forget that there's two parts to you. Two parts. There's your physical and there is your spiritual. So easy to forget the spiritual because you can't see it. Well, you can see the body and we're called upon constantly to look after it. We feel the pain that it endures when it is hurt. We feel its pain every time we injure it. We feel hunger, we feel thirst, we feel tired, and all these things require us to look after the body, and when we're doing that, we tend to forget we have a spirit as well, we have a soul that must be catered for, and it's the most important part of us, the most important part of us. There's these two entities, two parts, and the words of the Lord Jesus bring that home to us. At death, as I said, the body of the Christian is separated from the soul of the Christian. The soul goes to heaven and, well, the body is buried usually. But one day they're going to be reunited. Isn't that a miracle? Reunited. Oh, long, long, long ago, the body of Adam turned to dust. It was buried, I don't know where. No one knows where. There's no record of exactly where Adam was buried. The ground may have been ploughed over. Maybe there's a forest growing where he was buried. Or some crop. We don't know. But from the dust, God will bring forth Adam again. It's a wonderful miracle. But it's no greater a miracle than that which took place when God first made Adam. He made him out of the dust of the ground. He made him out of the dust of the ground. And God, as it were, will repeat that miracle in the experience of all who are saved and who have died. He will bring them out of the dust. It's a wonderful hope we have. A wonderful hope. Now, it's a bringing out of the dust, and even that gives us a wonderful picture of what lies ahead for the Christian. Out of the dust into glory. Out of the dust, God will form a glorious body for every true child of his. I'd like to just read to you from Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians, for there in his first epistle, he deals with this matter. 1 Thessalonians, you older ones, please turn it up now. 1 Thessalonians, verse 14 of chapter 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, that's a term used in the New Testament for death. For the child of God is just like a sleep. You go to sleep in the evening time and it's dark, and you wake up in the morning and the sun is shining. That's a wonderful picture. In this old world, place of darkness, we all will sleep one day. But then there's a morning when the Lord will bring us forth. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. They have gone to heaven. That's where their souls are. Well, one day they'll come back with the Lord Jesus. And they'll be reunited with their bodies which God will raise from the dust. Look, a couple of verses further on. Verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's a lot of noise, isn't it? It's a celebratory noise. The Lord's going to shout. He's going to shout for joy. He's, as it were, going to shout your name and call you forth and call all the saints who have gone before. He'll call them forth from the grave. There will be the voice of the archangel, because the angels will be in attendance. Angels, if I could speak reverently of this matter, angels have a curiosity about God's plan for you. Oh, men hardly take any interest in what God's purpose and plan is. Now, even many Christians don't bother reading carefully what the Bible has to tell us about God's purpose and plan. But the angels have a curiosity. They desire to look into these things. And could I suggest that's what brings them with the Lord on the day when he's going to raise all his saints who have died from the grave. The Lord will shout with joy. The archangel will be heard as well. And there will be the trump of God. The trumpet. God will sound a trumpet. What a day that will be. And what will happen? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. On that day of the Lord's return, not all the dead will rise. Only those who love the Lord, they will rise and share with him in his earthly kingdom, his millennial kingdom. We're not like animals. They die and that's it. Now there are men, intelligent men, learned men, who would tell the world that we are just part of the animal group. We're descended from them. We're just animals. When we die, that's it. That's it. But the Lord Jesus tells us differently. When he died, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He was more than just body. And so too are you. So too are you, boys and girls. You're more than just body. And ever you remember that. Ever you remember that. One final thing. We should leave this world, as did the Lord Jesus, speaking to our Heavenly Father. Speaking to our Heavenly Father. Now his mother was nearby. And The mother of the Lord Jesus was very important to the Lord Jesus. His disciples were nearby, and they were very important and precious to the Lord Jesus. But his last words are directed to his Father. You know, men think that just before they die, they can begin to talk with God and get everything settled. But that's not the case. The only ones who will die speaking to the Lord even as they die, communing with the Lord as they die, are those who before death came had opened communion with the Lord. We looked at the dying thief. He was converted very close to death, but I would say that there were hours between his asking the Lord to save him and his dying. The Lord Jesus died on the cross in a fashion different from all others who had ever been crucified, because crucifixion is a lingering death. Some who were crucified by the Romans and nailed to a cross may have lived for days hanging on that cross. For days. You remember when the request was made for the body of the Lord Jesus, Pontius Pilate said, "What? Is he dead already?" And he called the soldiers and he said, "Go and check before I hand the body over. Go and check." Because crucifixion was a lengthy death. And those who were crucified may be on the cross for days. And I'm therefore saying that the death of the Lord Jesus came quite some time before the death of the thief. He didn't just get saved and then die. No. And it has to be emphasized, boys and girls, you cannot get saved moments before you die. Just turn to God. As many think they can. You have to get saved and open fellowship and communion with God quite some time before you die. We sang a hymn this morning that begins, "Abba, Father, we adore thee." Here, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his Father. The word Abba means Father. And if you turn to Galatians chapter 4, and again, the older ones in particular can do this. Galatians chapter 4, and Paul there says in the verse 6 of Galatians 4, take note of this. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." What does that mean? Well, it means everyone who's converted, everyone who is saved, instantly begins to speak to their heavenly Father and call him Father. Call him Father. The disciples on one occasion said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he taught them what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that the believer is supposed to pray. And that prayer begins, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, our Father." Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, we should leave this world talking to our Heavenly Father, in communion with our Heavenly Father. But that communion cannot just begin seconds before we die. Don't you think that? The devil will tell you that. Oh, you needn't think about getting saved now. Leave it off. Wait until you're older. I've even heard people say, "I know when death will approach me, I know when I'll be feeling that soon I will die, well then I'll get round to this business of getting saved." No, no you won't. If you believe that, you're deceived. If we're going to die, fellowshipping, communing, talking with our Heavenly Father, we need to start now, and we need to seek His mercy, His pardon, and His grace. For many, many, many will find themselves shut out of heaven, having left the matter too late. Having left the matter too late. Let me read some verses in closing from Proverbs, the first chapter, beginning at verse 24. "Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught or at nothing all my counsel, my advice, and would none of my reproof, my directions and corrections of you. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. There will be many who will have left it too late, having turned their back on God when he spoke to them. The price will be everlasting damnation. Oh, if we're going to die, talking to the Lord, speaking to him as the Savior did to his Father, we need to begin now. We need to begin now. Oh, that you might heed this simple direction from the Bible. The Lord Jesus on one occasion said, "My sheep know my voice and follow me." Have you heard the voice of the Lord? And are you following him as a sheep follows a shepherd? May it be so with you all. We're bowing in prayer. We ask the Lord to take these feeble words and apply them with power to the hearts of boys and girls, oh, that they might understand that which so many do not understand, oh, that they might obey that which so many do not obey, and that they will answer the call of God and know him as their Father. Hear our prayer. Bless our school, its pupils, its staff, its parents, and all who would support it. Lord, look down kindly on this work, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.